This volume has been graciously dedicated by Reb Shimshon and Reb Yehuda Beanstock and families in honor of their parents, Max and Gail Beanstock of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. May the merit of the Torah studied through this volume bring them and their families continued gesund, nachas and parnasa berevach ad mea ve'esrim shana.
Shalom aleichem, and welcome to a shiur introducing Maseches Ksuvos. In this shiur, I shall offer an overview of the topics discussed, their relevance to marriage and divorce today, and go through the main elements of the Ksuva. My name is Baruch Urbanowitz of Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. When I had learned years ago in Lakewood, New Jersey, it was said in the name of Rav Aaron Kotler that Ksuvos is the shlissel to Shas, the key to understanding and approaching the entire Shisha, Sidre, Mishnah, and Gemara. This is particularly true for the yeshiva world, which spends most of its time learning Nashim and Nezikin. Ksuvos interfaces the issues dealing with marriage and the Kiddushin and the Isur related to the marriage, and the financial arrangement and partnership between husband and wife. While Maseches Kiddushin, Gittin, and Yevamos primarily deal with the Kedusha and the Isser associated with the marriage and the halachic status as of the woman as an Eishes Ish, Maseches Ksuvos views marriage from an entirely different angle. There is a partnership. There is financial liabilities and responsibilities. The merger between two assets. This marriage also has that aspect. And it is through the Maseches Ksuvos that we get a greater understanding of the responsibilities of the husband to the wife and the wife to the husband during the marriage and afterwards. The Ksuva, the written document, is actually a contract, financial obligations for both parties, and this offers the Jewish perspective on how Chazal felt it best to establish and maintain the financial relationship between the spouses. Secular laws on family law have shifted over time, and they've always been trying to find the correct balance for every society at every time in history to make the proper balance so that marriages work. Maseches Ksuvos offers a detailed explanation of how Chazal felt that it should work, that this is considered the just and appropriate way for a family to set itself up. Marriage is a partnership, and the goal of this partnership is for each one of them to reach a higher level in Avodas Hashem than each of could have done on their own times two. Joining forces together, they can bring Kedusha down here in this world and hopefully establish a home with Yiddish children being raised b'derech HaTorah. From the halachos found in Maseches Ksuvos, it appears that there are two fundamental principles guiding Chazal. Number one, it is not wise that each party to the partnership does all of the activities. If each party were to do everything, nothing would get done properly. Not only because each person would rely on the other to be doing the same thing again, but not everybody's cut out to do all the different types of jobs. For some things, a man is better, and for others, a woman is better. So in order to make this work, Chazal really tried to understand what in general, women are good at, in general, what men are better at, and divide the responsibilities in the home accordingly. Secondly, in order for any partnership to work, it's very important to have harmony and mutual trust, each person relying on the other party to faithfully fulfill their job towards the greater goal. Were it not for Maseches Ksuvos, a couple would come into the marriage, each one with their own assets, with their own responsibility to provide for their shelter, for their food, for their clothing. Everybody would have their own bank account. They may need to have a joint bank account for shared expenses. And everything would have to be divided up equitably. Every chore would have a price associated with it. Washing clothes, preparing the home, and making the beds, getting up in the middle of the night to take care of the children. If a wife spent some money on a child during the day to buy them something, food, clothing, she would come at nighttime and demand money back from her husband for those chores and responsibilities. How much does it cost to take off on your day to go to the doctor? What does it cost for an after-hours parent-teacher meeting that one of the parents went to? If such meticulous calculations were kept, the marriage would be a fighting battle and it wouldn't last very long. Gentiles are expected to use their logic to formulate legislation to deal with these matters. Secular family law nowadays often views the woman's contributions, even in her domestic activities of keeping the house functioning and running smoothly, equal to all of the money that is raised by the husband in his work towards their shared goal of keeping the house together. In such matters, it is not always wisest to follow what logic dictates. Sometimes the best way to go forward is to see what works, to see what really keeps the family together. We approach Maseches Ksuvos with a complete confidence that Chazal understood the true nature of man and woman and found the right formulas for most people, what will generally work to make the marriage and the family move forward towards their shared goal. A lot of the halachas are default situations, and it is possible and optional for the couple before the marriage and sometimes after the marriage has started to redefine their relationship and on financial matters. For example, halacha is found in Maseches Ksuvos, really in the Chumash is a reference to it. A husband is responsible to provide mizonos for his wife, take care of her food, her clothing, and other matters. There's a parallel takana, Ma'aseh Yodayim, Labal, the earnings. A wife works and can be expected to earn money and provide that money for her husband and the family's needs. This does not need to be viewed as Chazal taking away rights and privileges of the wife and giving them to the husband during the marriage. This can be viewed as a suggestion for the appropriate way to set up this partnership to make it successful. The Gemara Nunches shows us a machlokas amoraim. How did this process start? Was there first a takana that ma'aseh yadayim of an isha goes to the husband, and in lieu of that, because he is receiving her ma'aseh yadayim, he is therefore responsible to provide her with mizonos? Or to start the opposite, that the Baal is chayv and mezonos to his wife, and because he is chayv and mezonos to his wife and he shouldn't feel bad about that, they gave him in response ma'asi adayim of his wife. And the Gemara says, if it started off as a benefit first for the woman that she is provided for, she has the right to say, eini mezonos, ve'eini osa. I'm not interested in receiving mezonos from you. Don't take care of me. I earn enough money and I can take care of myself. The Gemara says, if the alternate side of it is true, that the takana was first made for the Baal that he should receive ma'asi adayim, and because he gets ma'asi adayim, the woman gets in response mezonos, then she doesn't have the option of saying eini mezonos ve'eini osa. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that a woman is allowed to say eini mezonos ve'eini osa during the marriage. There are other takanos in the Gemara. Mo'ah kesef, a husband is responsible to provide a weekly stipend for his wife to have spending money that she doesn't have to have any accountability for. In lieu of that, the husband gets moser ma'asi adayim, more than the normal amount that a husband can expect from his wife for ma'asi adayim, the balance, the greater amount, he is entitled to. The Rishonim discuss whether or not a woman can say, I'm not interested in the weekly stipend, I prefer to make my own money, and everything that I make should be mine. The Gemara in Samech Daled tells us how much this ma'asi adayim is. What's the expected amount? And it's measured in the quantity of spun wool. That means that a husband can demand of his wife that she provide for him a certain amount of spun wool per week. It's worthwhile to consider why Chazal tried to fix the amount in a result, how much wool should get done. Some women might take longer, some women might take go faster. But what's more difficult to understand is how do we apply that today? Nowadays, earnings and salary are not dependent upon productivity and output, but usually more dependent upon hours, how much time was put into it. Therefore, many dayanim will make the determination based upon hours that a wife is expected to work towards the productivity and earnings of the family's income. Now, as you'll learn in the Gemara, that responsibility for a woman to earn a fixed amount of money for the family is only if she doesn't do anything else in the house. She's being taken care of outside of the home. Tosfos and Daf Samach Gimel explains that if the wife is taking care of the house, cooks, cleans, straightens up, goes shopping, all of that time needs to be deducted from the amount of time that she is required to spend on earning money. So, for example, if halacha would determine that a woman is responsible to spend 40 hours a week to produce ma'asi adayim for her husband, but she spends 40 hours a week or more on taking care of the household needs, then she isn't responsible to do any ma'asi adayim for her husband. And in fact, a woman who is living with her husband is responsible, according to the Mishnayos and the Gemara and Maseches Ksuvos, to cook, to bake, to clean, to wash, all the household needs, and taking care of the children, nursing and providing for their needs. There are also personal responsibilities, taking care of her husband, that indicate closeness and affection, than a wife is expected to do. These two categories are important because a lot of times the responsibilities of a wife to provide the care of cooking and household chores is often waived. In Maseches Ksuvos we'll learn, Ola imo ve'ena yoredes imo. That means that whatever standard of living the husband had, he came from, Ola imo, she rises to that. And therefore, if the husband grew up in a family where his mother had lived on a high standard, where the woman did not cook, did not clean, had cars, had maids, he cannot expect his wife to do any of those chores. Ola imo. Ve'ena yoledes imo. If she lived on that high standard and he didn't, again, he cannot expect her to change the ways from her family's standards. Another reason for a woman to be putter from those chores is if the person has earned a lot of money. Even if both families did not have a high standard and she would normally be required to take care of the household chores, but now their income is very high and they can afford to have helpers to take care of the cooking and the cleaning and the children, he cannot ask his wife to perform any of those chores, except for the responsibilities that are personal and show affection. If their joint incomes don't afford them to hire help to take care of the chores and to live on a high enough standard, but one of them there comes from a family that has a high standard, what are they to do? He can't ask his wife to do that, and he doesn't have the money to pay for it. Depending upon the circumstances, it's very likely that it may devolve upon the husband himself to take care of those chores, and his wife is scot-free. The Gemara does tell us, though, that it's not good for a woman to be sitting around and doing nothing. It's not spiritually healthy for her or for the family. And he could ask her, demand of her, to get involved in something. But she has to find any type of activity. She can get involved in stucco work and community work. Or if she finds nothing to do, he can ask her to do something minimally to keep her occupied in appropriate behavior. So when men learn Maseches Ksuvos, they're learning about their responsibilities in the marriage. When women learn these halachas, they also learn about their rights, their privileges, and their responsibilities. Let's take a look now at the ksuva itself, which is a shtar written and signed at the wedding itself. The ksuva, which nowadays is signed and delivered at the wedding ceremony, starts with the day of the week and the month. And the witnesses testify that we understood that the husband asked this woman to be his wife, Kedas Moshe Yisrael, and he's going to work and honor and feed and support her in the custom of Jewish men who work and honor and feed and support their wives faithfully. And then it makes reference to the first of three different financial obligations that the husband has towards his wife. In the event that the marriage ends in divorce or the death of the husband, the wife will receive her ksuva. If he married her as a virgin, she will receive 200 zuz of silver. That is approximately 960 grams of pure silver. It's similar to an alimony, although it's just paid up in one lump sum. The reason for this ksuva is because according to Torah law, a husband is allowed to divorce his wife without her consent. In order to give the woman a feeling of security that her husband would not flippantly decide to divorce her, the ksuva stands as a disincentive for the husband to flippantly decide to do that. He'll have to pay. will have to shell out the money before he divorces her. In the time of the Mishnah, the 200 zuz was about enough money to manage for a year's time. It was there so that she could invest it and manage to take care of herself for years to come. There are another two components that are mentioned in the Ksuva. The Ksuva goes on to say that the husband will give this money, and he will also provide for her all of her food and clothing and necessities of life, and he will give her her conjugal needs. This is a reiteration of the Torah's halachic responsibilities. Then the ksuba that we deliver at the chasana talks about the wife's part. The witnesses who signed the document say, "We have heard and understood that the bride wishes to become his wife. And she had assets that she came into the marriage with." And it lists the amount of money that all of her assets were worth. It could be extremely specific, or it generally says it's worth 100 zakuki of kesef. There are many ways of calculating this. According to the Chazon Ish, it's 28.8 kilograms of pure silver. So the husband accepts that he has a responsibility to return that to the wife when the marriage ends. And the third component is the Tosefes. The Tosefes Ksuva is that the Chosson says, "You have brought in 100 zakukim of kesef. In a demonstration of my generosity and my love, I will match that and add to you, in the event that this marriage ends, another 100 zakukim of kesef." Altogether, that's 58 and a half kilos of pure silver. According to the price of silver today, Kaf Ches Teves Tovshin Ayin Hay, silver is worth about 17.77 US dollars per troy ounce. That comes out to over $33,000 for the ksuva. The ksuva needs to be paid in full before the delivery of a get. Many people, particularly Sfardim, will include in the ksuva greater amounts than this as a show of love and appreciation and commitment to their wife. Now, being that the ksuva is really the financial responsibilities, the marriage is, of course, totally valid even if no ksuva was done. And in fact, the financial obligations still exist even if no ksuva was signed. Chazal instituted that there is a standard set fixed amount of responsibility from husband towards wife and wife towards husband, whether or not they signed an agreement. When the ksuva is written and executed properly, whatever was written there is generally binding. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch raises an interesting point. After Cherem of Rabbeinu Geshem, where a woman's consent is required before a man can divorce his wife, the ksuva becomes less important because there is still security that the husband will not be able to flippantly divorce her. And the Ramah therefore rules some halachic differences, distinctions based upon this important cheirm of Rabbeinu Gershom. Many achronim disagree, as you will learn when you delve into the Shulchan Aruch on these points. So the ksuva itself is really designed in order to keep the marriage strong and healthy, to provide for the woman during the marriage, to make certain that the assets that she brought into the marriage will remain hers, and so that she is provided for after the marriage dissolves. In practice, the ksuva is often an irrelevant matter when a couple is interested in getting divorced. Since it is required to have both parties to consent to the divorce, a woman can technically request a higher amount than the value of her ksuva in order to agree to accept a get. A ksuva was never designed in order to stop a husband from refusing to give a get. If a husband is not halachically required to give his wife a get, but the wife still wants to leave the marriage, her ksuva cannot offer her any support. So often when a couple comes to a Beis Din and is interested in getting a divorce, financial arrangements should and could be made in advance, and the value of the ksuva is often a moot point. Negotiations between the couple need to be made, and often the person who is more interested in getting divorced will have to offer more in the form of a compromise. In Eretz Yisrael, the Bate Din themselves are still under the control of the secular court system, and although they try as much as possible to align their Piskei Halachos and their direction towards the couple according to Halacha, often they need to conform, adapt, or justify their psak with secular family law. Halacha requires every chosen and kala to have a shtar ksuva, otherwise they cannot be together. Regardless of how things may turn out in the unfortunate situation when a divorce is needed, the shtar is written like any other halachic shtar in monetary matters. The chosen writes that the debt should be paid from all of his karkos and metaltlin, his mortgageable and non-mortgageable property, anything that he already owns and anything that he is going to acquire should be used to pay his wife in the event that he dies or in the event that he divorces his wife, even from the shirt off of his back. The ksuva concludes and says that the chosen agreed to all of these terms, and he takes it upon himself with full seriousness, not as an asmachta, without any speculation. He has no right to claim that he thought he never would get to this situation and therefore is not required to pay. And his name is not on there just as a sample document for somebody else, but he is taking full responsibility. A kinyan is performed by the witnesses on behalf of the kala, the bride. The chosen accepts responsibility and commitment to all of the chiyuvim that are said in the ksuva. The witnesses sign, and that ksuva is handed and delivered over to the kala after the kiddushin before the nisuin. Learning Maseches Ksuvos will take you through contracts, nezikin, chiyuvim, ishus, kiddushin, gitin, and hopefully will offer husbands and wives to have greater understanding in the sanctity and the responsibilities of marriage. Jewish marriage today is the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still resides, and the stronger that bond is, the stronger Shekhinah is here in Golos B'tachtonim. Maintaining a strong Jewish family following the halachos and the systems of Chazal in Hilchos Ksuvos is probably one of Hashem's best ways of keeping Klal Yisrael alive ad bias Mashiach Tzidkenu.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.